I feel so blessed, and like seriously, any prayers or financial support like is just so greatly appreciated on my behalf. Can't tell you enough. So yeah, all a little bit about YWAM, as all of you already know, I guess. I'm going to YWAM. It starts, the first day is 2 weeks from today, actually. It's coming up very quickly, the 25th. So like Dave said, it's 3 months of, I think, 12 weeks of intensive training, and basically each week is a theme: Holy Spirit, the Bible, God's Father Heart, stuff like that. And so we go through all this training and learn all this really cool stuff, and then it's like a 10-week outreach phase where we get to go out into the world and apply it. And like Dave said, there's a lot of different countries. They sort of don't want to be too specific because some countries have anti-Christian governments, and so for safety issues, they don't want to list online. They only tell us once we're there verbally, so that for safety reasons. So that's pretty much all I have to say about that for now. We can, if there's more questions, you can get a hold of me later or at the end, or we'll figure it out. So I'm just going to read the verse that will be in today and then pray and then get started. So Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I just thank you, God, for this time, this opportunity to be in your presence and learn a little bit more about you. I just pray for open hearts to receive what you have for us. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you come this morning, that you fill this place, that you fill me, that you're guiding my words, my speech. I just pray against distraction this morning. I pray for focus. And I just thank you for this opportunity. We love you, God. All right. So, amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So, to know what this verse means, I think first we must define trust. And just the Google definition of trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, and strength of someone or something. And biblically, that someone or something is God, obviously. And trust and faith are a little different. The definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So the difference, as you can see, in trust, it's like the firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, and strength of someone and something. It's more of a trust in like facts or the characteristics, more concrete, like trust in these things because it's proven. And then faith is just believe, complete trust with in confidence or something with no evidence at all. So that's kind of the difference between trust and faith. And so for like an example, say you have a broken arm. Faith might say something like, I believe and I have faith in God and that he's real and that he has powers and he could heal me. And trust might say something a little more like, I know God can and will heal me because I have read the stories and I know how strong and capable and trustworthy and reliable he is. So if it is in his will, it will be done. That's more like faith versus trust. So what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all of our heart? Again, I think just that first line is up there. Awesome. I think we must define what is your heart then. So the Google definition of heart after the palpating muscle in your chest is the central or innermost part of something. So your heart is the innermost part of you. So it's to trust in the Lord with all of you, basically, is what this verse is saying. And if you're doing that, if you're trusting in the Lord with all of you, all of your heart, fully just trusting in Him, the main side effect I think that you will see is a real contentment in life just in Jesus, because you know you have Him and you have that trust in Him. And again, I just think contentment is the main natural product of trust. Like if you have trust, you will have contentment, and your contentment will reveal a little bit about how you're trusting. And Definition of content is in a state of peaceful happiness. That's the Google definition. The definition I wrote before looking it up was to experience hope, joy, and peace despite whatever circumstances you are faced with. So in life, we are faced with a lot of circumstances, and I think we often let those define our experience, where in reality, our circumstance doesn't define our experience, or it shouldn't, but it so often does. Like, something bad happens and we are just beaten down by it. We're brought low, we become anxious, get scared, whatever it may be, because of whatever we see. Any circumstance should be based off your contentness in Christ, which is coming from your trust in God. And crazy circumstances are really what reveal to us where our trust is at the time, as well as, I think, are one of the main things that shape our future trust and faith. And what I mean by that is, like, if you just, for instance, whatever the circumstance may be, just say you sin or mess up. So how do you know you're trusting in God? Trusting in His, you know, His promise of grace and forgiveness, and that He is who He says He is, and that we're holy and blameless and above reproach. Well, you'll know in that circumstance, if you're trusting in God, whether when you mess up, if you run to Him or you run from Him. Because if you trust in God and in His promises and you know who He is, what you will and should do is run to Him, which obviously that's often not the case for us, because we're stubborn humans and we like to run away from God and push back. And if you do that, like, it takes a definite grounding in Christ. And if you run to Him in those situations, that really shows, like, that you are content in Him, and that despite, you know, your circumstances. So I just want to talk for a minute. If you are discontent in life, discontent with some, just your whole life or certain circumstances, whether it be, you know, friendships, relationships, money, school, whatever it is, chances are, you know, you might want more money, different job, different school, new friends, whatever it may be, but chances are you may not really need all that. What you probably really need is a change of heart, a change of perspective. And now, there are certain circumstances where maybe you aren't doing what you're called to do, what God designed you specifically to do, because I do believe that He gives us all strengths and weaknesses, and we can be walking opposed to His will, and in that time, you know, we will feel discontent in our heart. But probably more often than not, what we really need is a heart change. The only way really for that to happen, to get a heart change, is to really seek Jesus daily. And, you know, by that I mean really read the Bible, really pray, go to Him with all your issues, talk to Him, and it has to be daily. Because, you know, if you come to church on Sunday expecting it to change your life, like, sure, inspired talking and good music and worship is helpful and, like, it is good and it's beneficial, but to really change your heart, it takes a lot more than that, because we have some very stubborn hearts. So it takes, like, we have to be disciplined and really seek God diligently, like, every single day. And if you do that, I can pretty much guarantee that God will change your heart and will change your perspective. And as a result, you'll begin to see things differently. God can reconcile anything. He is a very redeeming God. He can do anything. So if you want change, seek God, and He'll change your heart, and it'll change your life. Basically, this far, I've talked about sort of conceptually what it means to trust God and be content in Him, and, like, here's what trust is, here's what contentment is. So, but what does that really look like? What does it mean to trust God with all of you? What does it look like to do that practically? Well, we have to learn it. We have to learn to be content. We have to learn to trust. And it's very hard to do that. It takes time, takes practice. I think we learn just generally in sort of two ways, like intellect and then experience. And intellect is, you hear the idea or you read the idea and you sort of grasp it up here, and then like, oh yeah, trust God. Cool, got it. Like, great, trust him, cool. And then you're faced with this life circumstance where, you lose someone close to you, or you get fired, or and you're like, ah, trust God, dang it. I don't want to trust him right now. I'm mad at him. Why did I lose this job? Why did this happen? Whatever it is, So we learn first by knowing and then by experiencing. And I think for just a great example and picture of what this looks like, we will look at the life of Paul. This dude is basically a living example of trust and contentment. So for that, we'll go to first Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That is what Paul learned in life. He says he learned the secret in any and every situation to be content. Well, that secret is Christ who gives him strength at the end of that. So if we just take a look at Paul's life, just a few things that he experienced in his life that maybe sort of shaped his trust and contentment. He obviously, I'm sure most all of you know his conversion story and everything, but here's just a few things that happened to him. Well, for starters, when he wrote that very verse, he was in prison, and he was in prison at least four times. He survived three shipwrecks. One of the times he was in the sea a whole day and a whole night. He got beat like to a pulp multiple times. He also, people tried to stone him to death once. And he doesn't complain about any of that. He is just content from prison in a cell, just writing that. Like, who is this guy? He is crazy to me. And he also, he had it pretty good for a while too. He lived with Lydia. The sort of had her own fabric empire type thing. She was pretty well off. He stayed in her house. She probably had servants and a chef and was pretty well. So he's had it good and bad, and he knows what it's like. And the cool thing looking at Paul is he would have known intellectually. Hi, he wants to come hang out with us. Anyways, he grew up, learning the scriptures. He would have known, and like the most of the Old Testament, probably had a lot of it memorized. He grew up in that culture, and that's what schooling would have been for him. He would have learned the Old Testament. He would have knew intellectually what it meant to trust God before any of these crazy things happened to him. And then he got put in all these intense circumstances, and he could experience contentment in Christ because of his trust and groundedness in him. And he knew it didn't matter what happened to him. He just trusted God. He had this deep faith and just groundedness in all of him, like his heart, the center of who he was, trusted God. He knew, I think that's kind of summed up in Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So he's like, I don't care what happens to me. Heaven is going to be better. Being with God is going to be better. Relationship with Christ is better. I don't care. You can take away anything, but that's fine. I don't care. The future is better. God has better. He trusted Jesus with all that he had. That's what we, I think, all need to strive for. And obviously, it's easier said than done. He's a man of incredible faith and trust, clearly. So I kind of want to give a word picture here that the first part I took from another preacher, and the second part is me. So basically, the movie The Hobbit, for those of you who have seen it, there's this dragon named Smaug that is destroying this village. I think it's the second movie. And he's just breathing fire, breaking houses and stuff. And there's this one man up in a tower just shooting arrows at him, trying to fight him. And his son sees him up there and wants to help. So naturally, he climbs up the tower and goes up there. And his dad's like, "Boy, what are you doing here? Like, go down, go hide somewhere, be safe." He's like, "No, I want to help." And the son actually brings him this giant arrow that's like, I guess more of you like a harpoon. I don't know. It's like a 6-foot-long arrow with some sort of special tip that can kill the dragon and break through its scales or whatever. That's not the point. But the so the son is there and he wants to help, and the dad is like, "Well, you don't need to do anything. Like, this is my job." And so the dad is standing here with the bow, with this giant arrow, and the son is standing here with the arrow resting on his shoulder to help aim, and the dragon is behind him, coming towards them, just destroying everything. And the father is just like, "Look at me, like, you'll be all right," like telling him where to lean to aim. And at one point, the son sort of starts to look back, and the father's just like, "No, you look at me. You keep your eyes on me, son. Like, it's all right." And I think that's just a great picture of like the father's heart for us. Like, we're his son, and he protects us, and if we are looking at him and trusting in him and keeping our eyes on him and living our life, just, you know, looking at him, trusting in him like this with our eyes up, arms up, like all these circumstances and bad things are happening in our life coming at us, but as long as we stay here and trusting in God, like, we'll be all right. And when we look down and start to let our circumstances get bigger than God is when we start to become anxious and start to fail and start to stumble. And we just have to keep this attitude, that full, all of you, trusting in God. And another verse by Paul, I think, sort of sums up that a little bit. And that's Philippians 1:21, which is a very short verse. It's one of my favorite verses, and but it just has so much in it. It's to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if you just tear apart that verse a little bit, it's like to live is Christ. We have our life because of Christ. We're supposed to live like for Christ, through the empowerment of Christ, all with like this future hope in eternity, and knowing that to die is gain, and that we get to go and be in heaven with God and with Jesus, where his perfect will and his kingdom agenda is always being done. I sort of just sum that to live a life centered on love and relationship with Christ while having an eternal perspective which creates hope for the future. Well, so why should we trust in Jesus? Because he has provided himself trustworthy in the situations and circumstances where we needed him most. Like Matt was saying, we're all in dire need of saving. We're all lost, broken people. We need a savior, and he came, and he was that. He did that. So why should we trust Jesus? Well, because he's our friend, and he loves us, and he himself states that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another. And that's exactly what he did for us. He literally came and died for us. And like, what more could he do than that to gain our trust? Like, the least we could do is trust the guy with all that we have, or at least do our best to do that, because he came and died for us. It's ridiculous. It's so simple, but it's so hard to do sometimes. I think really the way, best way, main way, maybe the only way to grow in trusting God is to grow in relationship with him. That is, relationship is the key to everything. God is highly relational. I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense. Obviously, the more you know someone, the better relationship you have with them, the more you trust that person. So it should be the same with God. The more we're spending time with him, getting to know him, seeking him, the more we'll trust him. Simple as that, really. And the second part of the Proverbs 3:5, Lean not on your own understanding is really just an expounding of the first thought. It's like you are broken. You aren't capable of your own taking care of yourself. You're not trustworthy. So don't lean on yourself. Trust in God, and He'll sustain you. He'll get you through. Just a few more things. One of the last things I want to say is, and if you are in a spot where you aren't trusting God, or you feel like you can't trust God, I mean, that's okay. We all go through days or weeks or times where our trust fails and falters, and it's really about our heart. Like, if we know we need to trust God and want to trust Him, but maybe you aren't there right now, that's okay. Just, I would encourage you, if you're in that spot, to just keep pressing towards God, keep pressing towards relationship with Him, and He'll bring that trust. He'll help grow it, and it is a process, and it takes time, and the trust will come. The last verse I want to share is really, I guess, my prayer, and it's actually a prayer for Paul, from Paul, that over myself and over us as Christians and believers. That is Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with the joy, with joy and peace, because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that really sums all of that up. That's really most of what I have. Matt, if you want to come back up, we'll do one more song. We'll worship together a little more. That last verse? Romans 15:13. I'll read it again, even. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Always pray. Thank you, God, just that you are so trustworthy, that you are so good, so loving, and that it doesn't matter what we do, what we have done in life, you love us no matter what. We are considered holy and blameless as long as we've accepted you. I just pray that you would help grow our trust, grow our contentment, grow our relationships with you. I pray that as we seek, it wouldn't be in vain, that you would reward us, that you would be speaking to us, that you'd be changing our hearts like only you can. I just thank you for the simplicity of your gospel, the simplicity of your love. Just thank you for this time. I pray that as we go on in this week, we can remember the truths that we have been spoken here today, the truth of your word, your scripture. I pray that no one would leave empty-handed, that each person would have something that just sticks with them. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you fill us.